This week, we continue our study of Proverbs 10 through 29. We've been on the topic of wealth wisdom for the last couple of weeks, and we will be for a couple of weeks more. This week, our emphasis will be on gaining wealth in the right way and not in the wrong way. There are about 25 or 30 proverbs on this topic, depending on how we might sort them. In general, they tell us that we should depend on God to give us our wealth, and that we should attain our wealth through wise and righteous means, but they aren't very specific about precisely what the best methods are for generating wealth. They are more specific about certain unjust methods of accumulating wealth that we should avoid, speaking against getting rich by deception or bribery or interest or the use of unjust weights. You have no particular passage for consideration today since we are drawing verses from 20 different chapters. As we have been doing, I will cite the specific verses as we come to them. In your personal study, I recommend that you continue to read through Proverbs 10 through 29. Before we leap into a consideration of how to get rich the right way, we should first consider how it is that a man becomes wealthy in the first place. We have talked about how working hard at a productive task generates wealth, and about how a man can accumulate that wealth by using it wisely. But is that alone the key to becoming wealthy? No, it isn't. The fact is that ultimately only Jehovah's blessing can make a man wealthy. You can want to work producing wealth, but if God doesn't give you a healthy body and a good mind to figure out the best ways, then you won't get a chance to start. You can work as hard as you want tilling and fertilizing the fields, but if God sends drought and disease and pests, you won't get a good harvest. You can never build enough barriers to perfectly secure your treasure. Ultimately, you depend on God to keep it from being stolen and decaying. And no matter how much treasure you amass, disaster can strike you in an instant, such that you must spend it all on some unexpected expense, or God could render you unable to use or enjoy the wealth that you have amassed. In the end, only God can make you wealthy. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Or, as provided in the ESV footnote, it is perhaps better rendered, "And toil adds nothing to it." Now that, of course, is not an excuse to stop working. We have plenty of context telling us to work hard, but we must remember that our ability to work and the fruits of our work ultimately depend on God to give it. So, what is the way for us to become wealthy? As noted above, we don't get any specific plan on that. There's no business model outlined here for us to turn to or any schematics for the best product to sell. Obviously, as we discussed a few weeks ago, the main key to becoming wealthy is to consistently and diligently work hard on some worthwhile pursuit and to not waste the fruits of those labors. But in today's Proverbs, we get some more guidance on other general tips for building wealth. Tip number one, be wise. The Proverbs aren't very explicit about specifically how being wise makes a person wealthy, but in general, we already know that wisdom means having the best goals and the best means of going about those goals. So since generating wealth is a good goal, naturally being wise will bring you closer to that goal. And of course, the Proverbs do give more specific advice, like working hard rather than being slothful, as we discussed last week, and not wasting your profits, as we will discuss in tip number two. So naturally, being wise tends toward making a person wealthy. Proverbs 14:24 says, "The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly." And of course, as we have also discussed in the past, being righteous is a major component of being wise. The Proverbs often tell that being righteous leads to being wealthy. Proverbs 15:6 says, "In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked." Proverbs 13:25 says, "The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want." In fact, generally speaking, the righteous will have not only enough, but more than enough, such that at their deaths they will leave behind a good inheritance for their children. Proverbs 28:10 says, "Whoever misleads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will have a goodly inheritance." Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." Tip number two, don't waste what you earn. You can do productive work and earn a profit all day long, but if you spend it up as quickly as you bring it in, you will never be wealthy. Proverbs 21:17 says this, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." And it is true. The pleasures of life all come at a cost. If you want the finest food, you're going to pay for it. If you want to keep the air conditioning at a low temperature all summer, you're going to have a big power bill. If you want to drive the fancy car instead of the old clunker, you're going to have to take out an auto loan to pay for it. If you want the bigger house, the fun vacation every summer, the boat, the collection of fancy clothes, whatever it is, if you're spending money on it, and you're spending money on it for pleasure and not as an investment, then you're burning through your wealth. Do too much of that, and you won't have any wealth left. And on that note, you should remember that everyone who looks wealthy isn't. Proverbs 13:7 says, "One pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth." And I can speak to that personally. I have known literal millionaires who lived in modest homes, drove old vehicles, and whose dress was nothing of interest. They were millionaires because they spent their lives living modestly and didn't blow their money. I have also known people who bought multiple large houses on 30-year mortgages, who always had the newest cars and motorcycles, all bought with loans, and who bought whatever they wanted from the store on maxed-out credit cards. Those people were living on debt and had a negative net worth. They looked rich, but they weren't. Remember, the primary key to being wealthy is generating more wealth than you consume. So half of that equation is to just consume less. For many, many poor people, the problem isn't that they don't have enough income. The problem is that they spend too much. Proverbs 21:20 says, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." So there's the problem. If you can't get your spending in line, if you live outside your means, if you consume more than you produce, then you will never be wealthy. And it is better to actually have wealth than it is to look like you have wealth when you don't. Proverbs 12:29 says, "Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread." Tip number 3, be patient and attentive. Don't go out looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. I'm sure there are some out there who have followed such a path and experienced a major windfall, but usually wealth doesn't come in that way. Usually wealth comes as a result of a lifetime of diligent work, frugal living, and smart investing. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Now, I want to note for the record that the word hastily there might also be properly rendered fraudulently or by vanity, as the King James puts it. But in any case, the one who gathers a little bit by diligent labor wins out over the one who gets rich quickly, or by fruitless pursuits, or by cheating. In speaking of wealth gained hastily, I think of the lottery. This is, of course, the gambling game in which people desperate for money buy a ticket, hoping that their ticket wins, with the odds heavily stacked in favor of it not winning, but with a large payout for the one who does win, but still with a large portion of the money going to the purveyor of the game. The lottery and all forms of gambling are another of those ways to transfer wealth to oneself without actually generating anything of value, a vain pursuit. And by the nature of the thing, most of the players lose, and they often lose big time. I remember reading an article recently about the effects of the lottery. Unfortunately, I can't cite it because it has been some time back and I don't remember where I read it, but the story told of a woman who had been faithfully buying lottery tickets every week for decades. She never won anything. In her old age, she was totally dependent on state welfare because she had very little money. The sad irony pointed out in the article is that the authors calculated how much money she had spent over her lifetime on lottery tickets and determined that if she had invested all of that money over the course of her life, then she would have been a millionaire. What a tragedy. If she had saved and invested little by little, she would have had more than enough, but instead she got sucked into this get-rich-quick scheme and ended up with nothing. And of course, we've all heard stories about lottery winners who suddenly got rich and then blew it all. A person who is good at managing his money doesn't play the lottery. He is frugal. He saves little by little. In the end, he has a lot because he is wise about saving and investing his profits. But more likely than not, the lottery winner, by virtue of the fact that he is playing the lottery in the first place, doesn't know how to manage his money and is just some guy who got lucky. Now, if you handed me $1 million, odds are good that I would never want for anything again because I have a very conservative budget and I wouldn't change anything, or much of anything, about how I live. I'd make some investments so that my business would be more profitable, and then I'd save the rest of the money and spend it down little by little. I would keep on working the same job because that's how I can be most productive. Now, obviously, I can't know what the future holds, but with a very little math, I reckon that $1 million would probably last me until I died. But all too often, winning the lottery is more of a curse than a blessing. It works out something like this. The player of the lottery doesn't have a good job. If he did, he wouldn't be playing the lottery. But he doesn't like his job, and seeing that he has $1 million, he quits. He then sells his junkie house, for which he probably was in debt, and splurges on a much nicer house, maybe one costing $500,000. And why not? He's still got $500,000 to spare. Or at least he thinks that. There are tax obligations on the winnings, of course, and a bigger house comes with higher utility bills and more expensive maintenance. But never mind all that for now. People that the man knows then come asking him for money. He does something nice for his mom by paying her house off, maybe. Now he's down to $350,000, before taxes, that is. And then he gives gifts to other family members and friends who come asking for help. But of course, if the lotto winner does say no to people who come asking for money, he loses all of his friends, because they can't understand why anyone would be so selfish. Whether he gives or not, the relationship becomes strained. And then he buys a new car, a nice one. If he's lucky, then now he's down to $250,000. That is, of course, presuming that no one, like, say, some unscrupulous financial advisor, swoops in to steal the money. But suppose that they don't, and that the taxes haven't eaten everything. $250,000 is a lot of money. So the lotto winner settles into living a comfortable lifestyle. He runs up the AC bill, he takes a few vacations, he buys the fancy food, and so forth. But then, many lotto winners, lacking the same sorts of social constraints imposed on the rest of us by a regular job, fall into bad behaviors. Maybe they gamble the money away. We know that they already had been accustomed to gambling. Maybe they start partying and get into drugs. Next thing you know, they're an addict. Or maybe they fight with their spouse about what to do with the extra money and they end up divorced, which is itself expensive. And living the comfortable lifestyle, if they can get to that point, $250,000 might last, really, for 5 to 7 years. It really doesn't matter how much money a person has if he doesn't have a stable income, because the money spends fast if more money isn't coming in. So the fifth year comes and the money has been spent. The lotto winner has no income and suddenly realizes he can't pay for the maintenance and the property taxes on the needlessly oversized house or the fancy car, and so he loses both. And since he spent several years not working, he can't even find a job. He no longer has any friends who will help him, since the wealth imbalance alienated them. His wife leaves him. Everything is ruined. And so we all hear these stories in the news. Man won $1 million in the lottery, and not even 10 years later, he's flat broke. A quick internet search reveals plenty of such stories. Now, I'm sure that doesn't describe every lottery winner, but according to NBC News, who cited a study published in the MIT Press, lottery winners, even those who win tens of millions of dollars, are more likely to declare bankruptcy within 5 years than is the average American. So getting rich little by little often really does beat getting rich quick, because having wealth isn't so much about having it as it is about having the ability to earn it and the discipline to know how to manage it properly. The ones that lack discipline and work ethic will never be wealthy. Proverbs 20:21 tells us, "An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end." Proverbs 27:23-27 speaks to this idea. "Know well the condition of your flocks, and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and maintenance for your girls." The passage speaks to patience, attentiveness, and continual diligence. It says specifically that riches do not last forever. Whatever wealth you have, you will be consuming it, and so you must generate more. You have to labor to gather food for the animals or materials for whatever project you're investing in. You have to be attentive to your livestock or whatever investment it may be to ensure that it generates wealth. If you do that, then with some time and patience, your livestock will reproduce and they will generate food and clothing for your household. You can meet your needs if you work diligently and patiently and attentively with the self-discipline to gather little by little. To review, the advice of the Proverbs on how to become wealthy is this, and I'm going to supplement this with information we've gathered in previous messages. First, find something productive to do, and be sure that it is a righteous thing to do. Second, work hard at it. Third, be patient about gathering your profits. Fourth, don't waste your wealth on things that are unprofitable. If you do those things, generally speaking, you will have enough, and in time, you will have much. So the Proverbs gives us that general advice on how to become wealthy, that we should work hard, be patient, be righteous, and be conservative in our spending. But the Proverbs also tell us about how not to get wealthy. First, we should be sure not to try and attain wealth by any kind of unrighteousness. Proverbs 10:2 says, "Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death." That might seem somewhat counterintuitive. Obviously, attaining treasures is profitable, but the trouble here is that unrighteousness is itself unprofitable. We have discussed many times how sin is destructive. A person might commit sin and gain wealth for himself thereby, but the ultimate consequences will outweigh the benefits. One example might be prostitution. That, unfortunately, is something that people are willing to pay for, and a person could hypothetically rake in considerable money doing it. However, prostitution creates nothing of actual value. So wealth gained in prostitution is not so much wealth generated as it is just wealth transfer. That kind of wealth transfer sucks resources away from worthwhile endeavors and wastes them on something that is worthless. That, in itself, is harmful to society as a whole. But prostitution also causes harms which are much greater than the nil benefit. Prostitution spreads disease, it generates fatherless children, it breaks down the family, and so forth. So while a person could become wealthy committing the sin of prostitution, that wickedness ultimately would not profit. It would drag down the whole of society and would likely ultimately cause greater harm to the prostitute than whatever wealth she might accumulate. The whore will certainly not profit when she dies of whatever disease she catches in her lured trade. Righteousness could have delivered her from that death. Ultimately, the wealth earned by wickedness is not wealth at all. Proverbs 11:18 says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward." So let us accumulate wealth through righteousness and not try to accumulate wealth through unrighteousness. If we do the latter, we will be worse off in the end. A specific type of unrighteous scheme for gaining wealth is one that involves dishonesty. We already know that dishonesty is unrighteous and that the law prohibits theft by deception. Leviticus 19:11 says, "You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another." And on this, the Proverbs agree. Proverbs 21:6 tells us, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death." Proverbs 20:17 agrees, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel." One dishonest business practice which the Proverbs oppose is the use of unjust weights and measures. The idea here is that you offer someone a pound of flour, but then you take his money and give him less than a pound. You've cheated him with an unjust measure. The use of unjust weights refers more directly to the payment itself, however. In ancient times, silver was commonly used as a method of payment, and silver was traded by weight. So, to give a rough example, a person selling a good might offer it for an ounce of silver, but keep a 2-ounce weight in his bag. When his unjust weight was put on the scale, the 1 ounce of silver would look light in comparison. The buyer then might pay 2 ounces where he thought he had only given one. So in that example, he pays twice as much, and through deception, the seller gets twice what he was owed. Proverbs 11:1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Proverbs 16:11 says, "A just balance and scales are the Lord's, all the weights in the bag are his work." Proverbs 20:10 says, "Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 20:23 carries a similar sentiment. "Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good." Yet again, using an unjust weight is a means of accumulating wealth which produces no new value. It transfers wealth from the buyer to the seller, but the seller does nothing to generate new wealth in receiving it. This is unjust. Another type of unrighteousness by which we ought not to earn our wealth is that of charging interest. The law prohibits charging interest in Exodus 22:25. "If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him." The Proverbs also oppose charging interest. Proverbs 28:8 says, "Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor." The implication there is that while the one charging interest will gather wealth, he ultimately will lose it. Perhaps he will die and his wealth will be given to another, for example. We note that, like prostitution, collecting interest is another activity that generates no actual value for society. The one who lends has amassed wealth, and others need access to wealth so that they can continue to be productive, but the lending of the wealth is not itself a productive activity. Another unrighteous means of attaining wealth is that of accepting a bribe. Accepting a bribe is also a violation of the moral law. Exodus 23:8 says, "And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right." This falls neatly in line with our other examples of unrighteous accumulation of wealth. The official who receives a bribe enriches himself, but he generates nothing of value. Much to the contrary, he subverts the cause of the righteous and aids the cause of the unrighteous. This naturally tends toward the destruction of wealth and harm to society. Like the others, the Proverbs oppose this. Proverbs 15:27 says, "Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live." Proverbs 17:23 says, "The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice." Bribery then is clearly wrong, but that said, the Proverbs also begrudgingly acknowledge that bribery is effective. That, of course, demonstrates the danger in them. If bribes didn't work, people wouldn't try them. Proverbs 18:16 says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great." Proverbs 17:8 says, "A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers." Proverbs 21:14 says, "A gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe strong wrath." You should not desire to become wealthy in unproductive ways such as these. Proverbs 12:12 says that, "Whoever is wicked covets the spoil of evildoers, but the root of the righteous bears fruit." Wickedness is not the path to wealth. The wicked, who end up unproductive, wasting, and destroying, they must covet the wealth of others because they have none of their own. But when the wicked do take spoil, you should not covet that, lest you end up like them yourself. Instead, you should hate evil, and you should work righteousness, because righteous work bears fruit. Our final proverb for today is Proverbs 19:10. "It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes." Indeed, there will be fools who live in foolish ways and who still somehow end up with wealth. Maybe they do things that are wicked or unproductive and yet still lucrative. Maybe they inherit wealth they don't deserve, etc. This is unbefitting, but it is reality. As this is unbefitting, it is also unbefitting for a slave to rule over princes. A slave in that time would have been a criminal or a debtor who, in either case, was unable to repay what he owed. A person like that, who has been unproductive, wasteful, and destructive, should not rule over others. We should very much prefer that the righteous and wise would rule. But alas, such is not always the case. Sometimes people land in positions of power they don't deserve, and we should oppose that. To conclude, then, there is a right way to gain wealth, and there is a wrong way to gain wealth. The right way to gain wealth is to do righteous and productive things, generating valuable products and services for yourself and others in the economy. If you are diligent, patient, and attentive about doing that, then you will earn wealth. And if you are frugal, then you will save it, and you will have wealth available to reinvest. If you are attentive to such things, and if God blesses you, then over time you will become wealthy. You should not try to gain wealth the wrong way. You shouldn't try to get rich by unrighteousness. You shouldn't try to get rich by some kind of quick scheme. You shouldn't try to get rich by doing something that is unproductive and which just transfers wealth around. You shouldn't try to get rich by taking advantage of others or deceiving them. You should do valuable work that pleases God and which generates real wealth.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.